Yo, this is Axl Rose of Guns N' Roses.
Hey, this is Carmen Electra.
Hi, this is Daryl Strawberry.
What up, though? This is Big Snoop D-O-double-G.
Hi, this is Don Sally.
Hey, yo, Hulk Hogan here.
What's up? This is Beyonce. I got a great show lined up for y'all.
Hey, yo, let's get this party started.
The Sports Beat.
You know what? Let's keep it hot.
The Sports Beat
is off the chain, man.
The Sports Beat.
Download the podcast now.
You're listening to The Sports Beat with Richard Holdridge.
It's Friday, and you know what that means. It's time for another edition of the Sports Beat with Richard Holdridge, presented by Georgia Alabama Sports Live. Welcome, everybody, to the Friday edition, a jam-packed show. I'm going to get into everything, including the breakdown of the NFL Draft Day 1. What were the Atlanta Falcons thinking? The NBA playoffs. If the Lakers get swept by the Nuggets, is Darvin Ham out of a job? And I'm going to break down all the action from high school baseball last night to include Glenwood advancing to the semifinals of the AISA 3A state championship bracket. I am going to start the show talking about the NFL draft. As no surprise that the Chicago Bears with the first pick select Caleb Williams. Now, Caleb Williams reminds me a little bit of Patrick Mahomes. The Bears really haven't had this dynamic, electric quarterback, well, since they drafted Justin Fields. Not really, but the Chicago Bears haven't really had an elite top five quarterback since the 1940s with Sid Luckman. I know I said on the show yesterday, the 1930s, he actually came into the league in 1939. I had to go up and look that up. But Caleb Williams is set up for success. Now, maybe the offensive line might be a little shaky, but he's got weapons. Rome Odunze, they pick later in the first round. Keenan Allen comes over from the Chargers. You got DJ Moore from the Carolina Panthers in that trade when the Panthers got the number one pick last year. The Chicago Bears are going to be set up for success. I like the way they finished last year. If Matt Eberflus cannot win with Caleb Williams, then he's going to be out of a job. And I don't know, maybe Bill Belichick comes and coaches the Bears next year. Even though he's got some options, I don't know, Eagles, Cowboys. And then with the number two pick, the Washington Commanders, they get the Heisman Trophy winner, Jaden Daniels. A good pick. The first three teams in the draft needed a quarterback. The Patriots, they get Drake May. I actually think all three quarterbacks are going to have success in the NFL. It's just going to take some time. It took time with Josh Allen. It took time with Trevor Lawrence. With that being said, this is the first time in NFL history that we had had five quarterbacks taken in the top 10 picks. This was an incredible draft. It's an offensive league, and there were so many offensive pieces that were selected. I'm going to run down the rest of the NFL draft. The Cardinals end up taking Marvin Harrison Jr. out of Ohio State, the sure wide receiver. So in my mock draft, I got the first four picks right. I was a little stunned that the Chargers get Joe Alt, the best offensive tackle in this draft, but not so much because I do think that Jim Harbaugh likes physicality. You've got to win at the line of scrimmage. They've already got Rashawn Slater. They can move him over to right tackle. Joe Alt can be the left tackle. Justin Herbert now has protection on that line, and he's going to need it because losing Austin Ekeler and Keenan Allen, Mike Williams, I think that Jim Harbaugh is kind of starting over with this Chargers team. I'm shocked that the Giants didn't try to draft a quarterback at number six. They do get Malik Nabers. You know, they got a thing for LSU wide receivers. And then the Titans, they wanted to take Joe Alt. In fact, I had Joe Alt on my mock drafts. They take J.C. Latham from Alabama. Good offensive tackle. All right, this next pick was the shocker of the night. The Atlanta Falcons made everybody spin their heads. What were they thinking? I was actually going through Twitter, and they were just completely stunned. The Atlanta Falcons draft Michael Penix Jr. with the number 8 overall pick. I didn't see this coming. You already got Kirk Cousins. Why are you drafting the quarterback of the future? He's 24 years old. You paid all that money to Kirk Cousins, and now you're going to have to pay your backup quarterback a first-round contract for a quarterback. I did not understand this move. The Falcons have needs at other positions. I thought they were going to get Dallas Turner, and they just shook up the draft last night and left everybody stunned, including Kirk Cousins. They had no idea that they were going to draft a quarterback. This was the shocker of the night. And who knows, maybe Michael Penix Jr. will be a good quarterback someday. But the Falcons have needs. They are in a win-now mode. This could come back to haunt them. So this is the fourth year in a row that they've picked up an offensive skilled player in the draft. And I was joking around in my mock NFL draft. I thought, oh, maybe they're going to take Rome Odunze or Brock Bowers. I mean, because that's pretty much what the Falcons do. And they did not draft for need at all because they should have gotten Dallas Turner. He was the best defensive player left on the board. All right, so number nine, the Bears get Rome Odunze from Washington, a good weapon for Caleb Williams. Now, number 10, the Minnesota Vikings trade up to get J.J. McCarthy. I think J.J. McCarthy is going to have success, especially under Kevin O'Connell's system. He's got a weapon in Justin Jefferson. He's got Aaron Jones. The Minnesota Vikings are going to look good. It might be a learning curve for J.J. McCarthy, maybe a couple of years. But it's looking like he is going to battle with that quarterback position with Sam Darnold. But the Vikings needed a quarterback. Some people out there think he's going to be a bust, but he did have the best pro day. But I don't want to hear about, oh, he's a winner because he won at Michigan. You know, Jim Harbaugh does a very good job developing quarterbacks. J.J. McCarthy does have some good traits like accuracy and arm strength, but he has got to be more consistent. I mean, you cannot miss on throws that you're supposed to make. There were times that Michigan was just running the football against Penn State. Harbaugh didn't trust him. He was just running the ball with Blake Corum. So we'll see how it goes. I mean, I don't want any of these quarterbacks to be a bust. I mean, the 2021 NFL draft was absolutely terrible. There's only one player that could make a Pro Bowl someday, but even Trevor Lawrence has seen inconsistency at times. All right, moving on from the top 10. At number 11, the New York Jets get Olufashanu. And he is going to be an offensive tackle that is going to help the blind spot of Aaron Rodgers. The Jets are all in for Aaron Rodgers. I thought they were going to get Brock Bowers with this pick. All right, number 12, the Denver Broncos, who needed a quarterback. The quarterback room consists of Jared Stidham and Zach Wilson. They went and got Bo Nix. Now, I was excited for Bo Nix, the former Auburn Tiger. His father, Coach Patrick Nix, is the head football coach of the Central Red Devils. By the way, I'm going to have my football preview show on Monday. I'm doing my two-a-days. I'm going to start with Central and Carver. And Coach Patrick Nix, who is the father of Bo Nix, got to see him on ESPN as they had a watch party. I don't know exactly where that was. Maybe in Auburn. Maybe that was in Eugene, Oregon. I don't know. But Bo Nix getting drafted by the Denver Broncos. Broncos needed a quarterback. Now, the thing about Bo Nix, he's got all the intangibles. He's 6'2", 214. He has had very good seasons, and he is very seasoned as well. And his completion percentage off the charts, 77%, as he had an NCAA single-season record for completion percentage. Now he goes to the Broncos. You're going to have to go up against Patrick Mahomes twice. You're going to have to go up against Justin Herbert twice. But he's got Sean Payton as his coach. So I trust the process and what Sean Payton is trying to do. And then, of course, Zach Wilson and Jared Stidham are going to be backups. I don't know who's going to be the number two starter there. All right, this pick I really liked. The Las Vegas Raiders getting Brock Bowers. Now you have offensive weapons, Devontae Adams and Brock Bowers. Gardner Minshew is now the quarterback. I still think the Raiders might get a quarterback in the second or third round. Remember, that is going on today, rounds two and three. Maybe Spencer Rattler could be available. The New Orleans Saints, they get Talese Fuaga an offensive tackle. Now, that's going to give Derek Carr some time to throw the football. Another edge rusher off the board from UCLA, Latayu Latu, going to the Indianapolis Colts. They know a thing or two about defense. You got Shaq Leonard. You got DeForest Buckner. Now you got a pretty good edge rusher out of UCLA. The Seattle Seahawks. Well, they know defensive line, too, with that 12th man. Byron Murphy II, the sure defensive tackle. I actually thought that the Rams were going to try to get him to replace Aaron Donald. But now Seattle has got a very young defense. They got defensive stars all over the place with their new head coach. Pete Carroll is no longer in the building. The Seattle Seahawks, a new era of football. Geno Smith is their quarterback for a new head coach, Mike McDonald. All right, I think the Vikings got a steal at number 17, getting Dallas Turner, in my mind, the best edge rusher in the draft. He fell all the way to 17. Amarius Mims, you got to love those offensive tackles from Georgia. The Bengals end up getting an offensive tackle. And with Joe Burrow coming back from that injury, the offensive line has always been an issue with the Bengals. In fact, it was the offensive line that was their undoing in the Super Bowl against the Rams. All right, the Rams at number 19 get Jared Verse out of Florida State. They got to replace Aaron Donald, go get the best edge rusher left off the board. The Steelers get Troy Fatanu, an offensive guard, going to give Russell Wilson or Justin Fields time to throw the football. Go O-line with that pick. The Eagles at number 22, I'm kind of shocked they didn't take a Georgia player. They get Quinyon Mitchell, the cornerback from Toledo. Another wide receiver off the board from LSU. The Jaguars getting Brian Thomas Jr. Terrion Arnold, he is joining his former teammate Brian Branch in the secondary for the Detroit Lions, the Alabama Crimson Tide. Cornerback gets selected by the team that went to the NFC Championship last year. And by the way, that was a nice sight to see Nick Saban in the draft commentary. By the way, he is going to be a fantastic ESPN commentator, unless he already isn't. He is going to be a star in the broadcast booth. And then the Green Bay Packers get Jordan Morgan, the offensive tackle from Arizona. The Buccaneers get center Graham Barton from Duke. Darius Robinson, the edge rusher from Missouri, goes to the Arizona Cardinals. Now, this pick at 28 was unfair, absolutely unfair. The Kansas City Chiefs move up to get Xavier Worthy. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? You just handed another Super Bowl to the Kansas City Chiefs. Xavier Worthy is just going to be a cheaper version of Tyreek Hill. This is absolutely unfair, but this is what great organizations do. They find gems, they find diamonds in the rough. And, you know, with the whole Rashid Rice situation, they got Hollywood Brown, Travis Kelce's getting up there in age. The Kansas City Chiefs felt, why not give Patrick Mahomes another young weapon that you don't have to pay a whole lot? Cowboys get Tyler Guyton, the offensive tackle from Oklahoma. I like this pick. They got to make sure that they get the O-line right because, you know, Tyron Smith is now on the Jets. You go get his replacement, and maybe Dak Prescott can have a bounce-back year. This pick, a lot of experts loved this pick by the Baltimore Ravens. Nate Wiggins, the cornerback from Clemson. He has just got a Ravens mentality. The Ravens do this all the time. You know, they got Patrick Queen a couple years ago. They got Matt Elam. They know how to draft defense. And they have been built on defense. John Harbaugh, I believe he is now the longest tenured head coach at one organization, has known defense, and that's why the Baltimore Ravens were able to win two Super Bowls, because of defense. I like this pick. The 49ers getting Ricky Pearsall, the wide receiver from the University of Florida. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean that they're going to trade Deebo Samuel or Brandon Ayuk. That just gives Brock Purdy another weapon. This just means that they're probably not going to re-sign Brandon Ayuk. And that's okay. They're going to let him walk. He's got one more year left on his contract. He is going to play this contract out. The 49ers finally have a first-round pick in 2 years. They haven't had a first-round pick since Trey Lance in 2021. They had to give up their 2022 and 2023 pick. They finally get a first-round pick. This team, I know they had other needs, maybe offensive line, maybe cornerback. You're giving Brock Purdy another weapon. Ricky Pearsall is one of those receivers that could be a surprise. I don't think he's going to be a bust. I remember the 49ers drafted Rashawn Woods or A.J. Jenkins. Those were terrible picks. But hopefully, they've been doing a good job drafting wide receivers. You know, let's forget about Dante Pettis. Let's forget about all those terrible wide receiver picks. I mean, Quentin Patton. Sorry, I'm bringing up horrible memories. All right, and then the final pick of the first round of the NFL draft goes to Xavier Leggett from South Carolina. Another weapon for Bryce Young, getting drafted by the Carolina Panthers. So he is staying, well, in the Carolinas, not necessarily staying home. He's just staying in the Carolinas. Rounds 2 and 3 later today on ESPN. And when you look at the NFL draft, it is an event. And I almost can guarantee you that more people watch the NFL draft than the NBA playoffs. All right. Speaking of NBA playoffs, we're going to go ahead and take a break. When we come back, I'm going to break down all the games from the NBA playoffs. And are the Lakers done? Because I think they're done. I think that Darvin Ham gets fired at the end of this season because they are going to get swept by the Denver Nuggets. You don't want to go anywhere. It is the Sports Beat with Richard Holdridge, presented by Georgia Alabama Sports Live, and we will be right back after this.
It's the best in sports and entertainment, and get locked in and locked down with Rhino Radio Penitentiary, 7 a.m. to 10 a.m. with your host, me, Ryan O'Neill, each and every morning right here with the best in sports and entertainment, all the way from professional sports to college sports to River Dragons hockey and everything in between, including some of the very best local and national guests. It's the Rhino Radio Penitentiary, 7 a.m. to 10 a.m. Monday through Friday, right here on 99.1 FM WQEE.
We are back here on the Sports Beat with Richard Holdridge, presented by Georgia Alabama Sports Live. I hope you guys are all having a great Friday. I know I am. Looking forward to the weekend. It is the last weekend in April. We turn the calendar and we get ready for May. There's a lot of sporting events. I want to remind everybody, because of spring practices for high school football, with the GHSA schedule out and most of the schedules being finalized, I'm going to do my two-a-days starting on Monday. The two schools I'm going to cover first are the two top most successful schools in the Chattahoochee Valley. I'm talking about the Central Red Devils. You've got great NFL players like Jeremiah Castile. You have J.D. McKissick. Soon Cam Coleman, who's playing for Auburn. The Central Red Devils and the Carver Tigers. I just wish these two schools would play each other. I know that that would be the dream matchup. Carver with great players like DJ Jones, Brinston Buckner, Isaiah Crowell, Puma Pass. I thought he had an incredible time at Louisville when he replaced Lamar Jackson. So that's going to be on Monday. I'm going to pick two schools a day, and I'm going to do my two-a-days. I'm going to recap the 2023 season. I'm going to talk about who could possibly be some key returning players for the 2024 season. I'm going to break down the schedule. That's all going to happen on Monday, and I'm just going to run with it for the entire month of May in honor of the spring practices and the upcoming spring games coming up. All right, NBA playoffs last night. The Orlando Magic, they demolish the Cleveland Cavaliers, 121-83. And Paolo Banchero, who is a star, I mean, he's already an all-star, but he is a very special player, 31 points and 14 rebounds. The Magic trail the series 2-1. I seriously thought that they were going to get swept by the Cavaliers, but the Magic are a very good team at home, and this was a very good win for a confident bunch. And one player that actually stood out was Jalen Suggs. 9 of 11, 24 points. I thought this guy was going to be a bust. He hit great shots at Gonzaga during his college years. But the old saying that a series is not officially over until the home team loses, or something like that. All right, the Knicks and the Sixers. I was watching some of this game. The Knicks were ahead. There was a questionable call by Joel Embiid on a flagrant foul. And the Knicks, as they were leading in this game, they led by 3 at halftime. The 76ers just blew them out in that third quarter. And this was a must-win game for the 76ers, with Joel Embiid, when he is healthy, he is one of the most dominating players in the NBA. And when I say one of, because Nikola Jokic is probably one, Joel Embiid is 1A. 50 points. He just dominated, shot 5 3-pointers. He was 5 for 7. Tyrese Maxey with 25 points. This is really the first time we've had two teammates average 30 points in the playoffs since Shaq and Kobe in the early 2000s. This is a great dynamic duo, and I don't think the Sixers missed James Harden at all. Not one iota. When you have role players like Nicholas Batum, who is a great defensive player, I would like to see Buddy Hield get more action. He's a great three-point shooter. And then Kyle Lowry, that savvy point guard veteran. Kelly Oubre, I mean, they got some role players. Tobias Harris has kind of disappeared. But the 76ers are not done. As long as they keep on winning, they can maybe steal a game in the Garden, and maybe they can get the upset on the Knicks. And the Sixers think they should be up 3-0. I mean, they blew that game against the Knicks in Game 2, up by 5 with 40 seconds left to go. Are you kidding me? You cannot give up that game. And I thought that the Sixers bounce back and they get the win. All right, the nightcap. I got to talk about it, because this is the third game in a row that the Lakers had a double-digit lead and they lose to the champs, the Denver Nuggets. They go into L.A. They get the 112-105 victory to take a 3-0 series lead in the series. It's over. It is over. Like Vince Carter when he made that slam dunk in the 2000 slam dunk competition, going up to the camera and saying, it's over. The Lakers might get game 4. But I think that they are on the verge of getting swept back-to-back years by the Denver Nuggets. And I think that Darvin Ham is finished as head coach. LeBron is going to run him out of town. I mean, let's just say that right now. Do not blame this on LeBron and AD. They are having fantastic seasons. They're having fantastic playoff series. But my thing is on the Lakers, they have no depth on their bench. You know, they try to get a guy like Spencer Dinwiddie, who's a good role player for the Brooklyn Nets. He's just not fitting in to what the Lakers are trying to do. And Coach Darvin Ham is just not utilizing the Lakers at all. It goes back to the fact that since 2013, before LeBron got to the Lakers in 2018, they were an awful franchise. And I blame it on the ownership, the GM, you know. I like Jenny Buss, but you know, before she was the owner and you had Jim Buss and he made some bonehead decisions, and you got an agent in Rob Pelinka who's a general manager. We all know who's running the show. It's LeBron and Clutch Sports. It's Rich Paul. It's Maverick Carter. He's getting his buddies over there. And you know, he might even go after Chris Paul next year. He is going to try to get his buddies. It didn't work with Russell Westbrook. You got rid of a lot of good pieces to get Russell Westbrook, and they are hurting from that. Rui Hachimura is inconsistent. They were hoping he would be a 3-and-D guy, a good wing player. D'Angelo Russell, another inconsistent player that they got at the trade deadline. I mean, you go 0-for-7 for a goose egg. That is absolutely terrible. And Austin Reeves, he does put up good numbers, but if he is your number 3 option, you are in trouble. LeBron is getting up there in age. AD can't stay healthy all the time. When he is healthy, he is absolutely dominant. But LeBron and AD can't do it by themselves. They need to get a third superstar in here. They need to go get Klay Thompson. They need to go get, Buddy Hield. Somebody that could just shoot threes. It's a 3-point league. You've got to get shooters. And you got to get him in here fast. The Lakers probably have one more year. And, you know, I know it's not over. I mean, like Kevin Millar said, don't let us win tonight when the Red Sox were playing the Yankees in 04. It's never over, but it's not looking good. The Lakers are down 0-3 to the defending NBA champions. And another window, missed opportunity for the Lakers to try to win LeBron another championship. Remember, LeBron didn't go to L.A. just to win championships. He went to L.A. to be a movie star, to film movies like Space Jam, A New Legacy, to produce and make game shows. And that's what LeBron is all about. And now, the final stamp on his NBA career, he wants to play alongside his son, Bronny James. I could see a scenario where the Lakers draft Bronny James, or they sign him as a free agent in the NBA draft for this upcoming season. So I went on my rant about the Lakers. This has been a dysfunctional franchise from 2013 all the way up until LeBron decides to sign with the Lakers. And even when he had players like Lonzo Ball and Brandon Ingram, they just decide to trade everybody to get Anthony Davis. I mean, this is one of the most name brand recognizable franchises in the NBA, but it is not a very well-run organization. And LeBron has really been the glue that has kind of kept it afloat. But, you know, he can't do it all by himself. The guy's 39 years old. I'm going to get into the NHL playoffs from last night. The Florida Panthers, they took it to the Lightning. They take a 3-0 series lead. I think the Panthers get back to the Stanley Cup final. They are a very talented team. And this season, you got Sergei Bobrovsky. Incredible. Stood on his head with 26 saves. They're going to close this thing out. The Sunshine State battle between the Panthers and the Lightning. Two great franchises, but the Florida Panthers, too much over the Lightning. Carolina, another one of those teams in the Southeast. It looks like they can make a run to the Stanley Cup final. They defeat the Islanders 3-2. Later today, the New York Rangers, they go down to Washington. They have a 2-0 series lead on the Capitals. The Preds and the Canucks, it comes back to Smashville. It is tied up at one apiece. That electric atmosphere at Bridgestone Arena with them throwing the catfish on the ice, you gotta love it. Love the Predators. I think they could pull off the upset. Jets and Avalanche going back to Colorado. It is tied at one apiece. The Edmonton Oilers and the Los Angeles Kings tied up at one apiece. I could see those series as going seven games. The other shocker of the NHL playoffs is the Vegas Golden Knights. They got a 2-0 series lead on the number one team in the Western Conference, the Dallas Stars. Never count out the champion. The Vegas Golden Knights have been relentless, and they've been able to weather the storm, and they take a 2-0 series lead, and it's going back to Vegas on Saturday. The Boston Bruins, they have a 2-1 series lead on the Toronto Maple Leafs. So the Braves had the night off last night in the MLB. Here's some of your MLB scores. The Dodgers end up defeating the Nationals 2-1. Athletics beat the Yankees 3-1. The Rockies in a slugfest over the Padres 10-9. The Mariners defeat the Rangers 4-3. Cubs beat the Astros 3-1. Royals beat the Blue Jays. It's a rain-shortened game because there was a 3.5-hour rain delay, and the Royals win the game 2-1. Phillies beat the Reds 5-0. Brewers defeat the Pirates 7-5. The Cleveland Guardians, they beat the Red Sox. They have the best record in the American League. They get ready for the Braves today, and the Twins beat the White Sox 6-3. Oh, the White Sox, 3-22. I cannot believe how bad the Chicago White Sox are. They have the worst record in Major League Baseball. I don't know how they can fix it. I mean, they could set records and become the worst Major League team of all time. But right now, the Cleveland Guardians, 18-7. The Braves are 17-6. They play tonight. The two best teams in Major League Baseball. Here are some of the pitching matchups. It's going to be 7:20 at Truist Park. You got Chris Sale, who is looking like the Chris Sale from 2018. I know his ERA is a little bit up. He did get rocked his last outing. And he's going up against a guy, Logan Allen, 3-0, who's got a 5.06 ERA. The big bright spot for the Atlanta Braves is Marcell Ozuna, leading the team with 9 home runs. Remember when, after 2021, everybody wanted to write off this guy? They said that, you know, he was just not what the Braves were looking for, and they wanted to get rid of him. I thought it was a great pickup when the Braves got him in free agency from the Cardinals. The COVID year, he actually was a breakout player for the Atlanta Braves. Didn't have a much of a role in 2021 when they won the World Series, but Marcell Ozuna has been on a tear. I'd like to see more production from Ronald Acuna Jr., but he'll get going. I mean, he is a superstar, and this is going to be a good 3-game series for the Atlanta Braves. After sweeping the Marlins and taking 2 out of 3 against the Rangers and sweeping the Astros, the Braves have got to worry about a team that has been their Achilles heel, and that is the Philadelphia Phillies, who are 2.5 back of the Braves in the National League East. All right, it is time to take another break here on the show. We are going to go pay some bills, and when we come back, I'm going to talk about high school baseball. I'm going to break down the brackets in the GHSA, the AHSAA, the GIAA, the AISA, and the GAPS right here on the Sports Beat with Richard Holdridge. And the River Dragons have a big game in the semifinals tonight. Game one, taking on the Carolina Thunderbirds. And then the Columbus Lions are on the road, taking on the Harrisburg Stampede. You don't want to go anywhere. It's the Sports Beat with Richard Holdridge, presented by Georgia Alabama Sports Live. And we will be right back.
Hey, sports fans. Weekdays, 3 p.m. Eastern to 5 p.m. Eastern. Drive time on WQEE. Braves Country is a Southern sports talk show with Mac McGee and the Armchair Quarterbacks. That's Braves Country with Mac McGee and the Armchair Quarterbacks. Weekdays, 3 p.m. to 5 p.m. right here on WQEE 99.1 FM.
Back here on the Sports Beat with Richard Holdridge, presented by Georgia Alabama Sports Live. You know, I'm approaching my three-year anniversary when I got selected to be the public address announcer for Russell County football, and it was a game changer for me at the time because 3 years ago, I was an unknown broadcaster, and somebody that I go to church with knew one of the boosters from Russell County, gave me the phone number to Coach Dylan Griggs. We had a conversation for about 10 minutes, told him I was a broadcasting major in college, and he could tell right away that I had a broadcasting voice. And once I got up in the press box and I started PA announcing for Russell County, that created a chain reaction of events that led to the broadcasting career that I have today working for Georgia Alabama Sports Live. From PA announcing to Russell County, to being the play-by-play announcer for the Columbus Rapids, the announcer for the Columbus Lions, the Chattahoots, the Chattahoochee Monsters, and doing my podcast 5 days a week on WQEE, The Sports Beat, which is at episode 831 as I just continue grinding away and also calling games for Georgia Alabama Sports Live. I want to thank Thrift Behringer really for giving me that opportunity. 2 years ago, I was at a basketball game that he was coaching for Campus Academy. My daughter was cheerleading, and Thrift spotted me in the audience and recognized me right away as the voice of the Columbus Rapids. He invited me on the Sports Visions radio show, and the rest is history. We started calling games about a year and a half ago, and then Georgia Alabama Sports Live, which is about to approach their one-year anniversary, and we continue grinding on Georgia Alabama Sports Live. Thrift Behringer and I are going to be at Calvary Christian High School tonight for the quarterfinals in the GAPS playoffs. And Calvary Christian trying to win their sixth state championship in the row when they make their transition to the GIAA next season. They are taking on Johnson Ferry Christian Academy. First pitch, 4:30. You can catch that game on Georgia Alabama Sports Live. All right, let's go into the high school baseball playoffs from yesterday, because Thrift and I were also at Glenwood as they got the wins over Morgan Academy, 9-0 and 12-3 to advance to the semifinals in the AISA 3A state championship bracket, where they will take on Macon East on Wednesday. We will have those games on Georgia Alabama Sports Live, and also we will have Calvary in the semifinals that week as well, as we are just going to follow Glenwood and Calvary all the way to the championship. So I called the first game for Glenwood Morgan Academy by myself. Thrift Behringer was doing Sports Visions with DJ Jones from 4 to 6. You can catch them on Smooth R&B 92.1 Mondays and Thursdays from 4 to 6. And we almost witnessed history. In fact, Tyler Sykes, who was our player of the game, interviewed him after the second game. In the top of the seventh inning, when Glenwood was up 9-0 on Morgan Academy, Tyler Sykes faced a batter that got down to the final strike, and I was ready to explode out of my chair to call a no-hitter, and it was broken up, and it was still an incredible game. He pitched 7 scoreless innings, 13 strikeouts. He did hit a batter, and he gave up one hit, and Glenwood wins the first game. The second game, it was a little shaky as it was a 3-2 contest, but then Glenwood just opened up the floodgates and they win 12-3. Here's some of the other scores around the Chattahoochee Valley. We got two teams from the Chattahoochee Valley facing off in the 4A GHSA state playoffs. Troup County and Shaw. Shaw wins the first game 5-2. Troup County turns around and wins the second game 7-2. So there will be a game three today at 4 o'clock at Edwin Jackson Field on the campus of Shaw High School. A winner take all to advance to the second round of the playoffs. And then yesterday, Hardaway's season comes to an end after losing to Stars Mill 10-0 and 13-0 in their games. The LaGrange Grangers, they get a big game 1-2 victory over Bainbridge, 12-2 and 15-0. They advance and possibly going to be on the road because they were a number two seed. But Coach Donnie Branch got a very good team, and they are just a championship-caliber team that has made it to the state championship the last two seasons. And I don't think that LaGrange is one of those teams that rebuilds. They just reload. We saw them on Georgia Alabama Sports Live taking on Central about a month ago. And speaking of Central, their playoff championship quest starts today as they will face Prattville, first pitch at Darnell Nelson Field at 4 p.m. And so we have got just a busy lineup of high school baseball in and around the Chattahoochee Valley. So the brackets are set in the GIAA, and Brookstone and Pacelli are going to have first round byes in the playoffs. They will host games next week in the quarterfinals, and there's a possibility with Brookstone being a number two seed, Pacelli being a number three seed, there's a possibility they could meet in the semifinals before getting to the GIAA state championships, which will be held May the 16th through the 18th in Macon. So you don't want to miss that. All right, here's a breakdown of high school baseball playoffs in the GHSA. We're going to start with 7A. Over in the left quadrant, Grayson gets by Richmond Hill. So the number three seed will advance to face the winner of Marietta East Coweta. Trying to get a score update on that. Forsyth Central defeats Norcross in two games, and they will take on Walton, the number one seed who defeated Mountain View. Lower left, you got Colquitt County. They fall to Brookwood 6-5 and 5-0. They will take on the winner of Westlake Hillgrove. Hillgrove won the first game over Westlake. Then you got West Forsyth and Peachtree Ridge. They are going to be hosting the winner of Kennesaw Mountain and Buford. Buford won 4-3. And then over the right bottom quadrant, Lowndes, the defending 7A champions, they advance. They will face the winner of Harrison Carrollton, where they are locked up 1-1. They're going to have a game three to decide it all. Duluth, South Forsyth, same thing. We don't have a score update on that. Decula, North Cobb, they will have a game three to decide who will advance. Parkview, remember Colin Houck last year? Big-time Major League prospect. Parkview gets the 10-0 and 13-0 win over Camden County, and they will take on North Paulding, who beat Campbell 11-1 and 14-3. So we got strength on strength in the second round between North Paulding and Parkview. Lambert taking on North Gwinnett. Don't have a score on that. Mill Creek advances over Cherokee. Now let's go to 6A. The defending state champions for 6A, Houston County. They get by North Atlanta 10-0 and 3-2. They will take on the number one seed on the road, Evans, who defeated Alcove 10-6 and 13-0. So Houston County, Evans, second round starting May the 1st. Lassiter, the number three seed, defeats River Ridge of Woodstock 3-2 and 1-0. They advance to take on the winner of Gainesville and Noonan. Try to get a score update on that one. Thomas County Central, well, they won a state championship for football. Why not for baseball? They are going to take on Woodward Academy in the second round. They get by St. Puis ex-Catholic 3-0 and 7-2. Woodward Academy defeats South Effingham 4-0 and 4-1. You got Allatoona taking on Pope. You got East Paulding. They trail Appalachia 15-3. Now let's go over to the right bottom quadrant, Tift County. They defeat Dunwoody 4-3 and 10-3. Boy, they are celebrating in the town of Tifton as they move on to the second round. Brunswick, they defeat Mundy's Mill in game one. Roswell and Etowah, I don't have a score update on that. Habersham Central and South Paulding, they will have a game three as it is all knotted up. That will be today. Marist, they get by Lee County 7-6 and 1-0. Remember, Buster Posey played for Lee County. They know baseball down in Leesburg. Marist will face Glenn Academy as they defeated Rockdale County 17-0 and 12-2. Sequoia and Blessed Trinity, don't have a score update on that. Man, come on, Max Preps. You got to get your score updates. North Forsyth defeated Alexander. They advance to the second round. All right, let's go to 5A. Let's start at the upper left. Greenbrier gets by Martin Luther King 14-0 and 18-1. They will face Ola, who defeated Northside in three games. This was a dogfight. Northside was the number four seed. They upset Ola in game two, and they lose only 3-1. And so Ola does advance, but congratulations to the Northside Patriots. You really took a talented Ola Mustangs team out of McDonough to the brink and almost pulled that out. And that would have been a huge upset in the 5A state playoffs. Kell ends up defeating Cass 5-3 and 17-1 to advance to take on Villa Rica. It took three games to defeat Eastside. Down in the lower left, McIntosh. They went to the state championship last year. They had no problem over Jones County 5-0 and 8-5. They will take on the number three seed, Coffee, who defeated Chamblee 15-0 and 9-2. They will host that game. And then Woodland ends up beating Cambridge. Loganville gets by Chapel Hill. So you got Woodland taking on Loganville in the second round. In the right bottom quadrant, Ware County defeats Tucker to advance to the second round. And Union Grove defeats Northgate 6-2 and 7-5. Greater Atlanta Christian School defeats Dalton to advance, where they will face Flowery Branch, the number three seed, who defeated Jackson 6-0 and 11-10 in a slugfest. Decatur, it took them three games to defeat Statesboro, but they do get game three 12-5. They will take on Locust Grove, who defeated Harris County as the number three seed 11-0 and 5-0. Cartersville gets the win over Chattahoochee. By the way, Cartersville is the new location for the newest SBL franchise, the Cartersville Cannon. I think that this is going to be where a lot of Cartersville high school players, Trevor Lawrence played here. He probably played baseball. I got to look that up. They're taking on Jefferson, and I don't think downtown Sammy Brown is on the baseball team, but I'll have to confirm. Jefferson gets the win over Midtown. Now let's go to 4A. Troup County and Shaw, game three tonight. They will face the winner of Islands and West Lawrence. Probably going to be West Lawrence. They have always been good in baseball. Dublin is just a baseball factory. Holy Innocents Episcopal. I mean, what is Holy Innocents Episcopal not good at? They're good at football. They're good at basketball. They're also good at baseball. They defeat Central of Carrollton 6-2 and 7-2, where they will face Lovelet that beat Walnut Grove. LaGrange advances to take on Wayne County. This is going to be on the road. Wayne County had no problem over the Howard Huskies, 10-0 and 8-0. Cedartown, another big baseball school. They defeat Druid Hills. They're going to take on Cherokee Bluff as Cherokee Bluff got by Woodland. Over to the right side of the bracket, Whitewater is leading Cairo game one, 13-2. That's a huge upset because Cairo was the overall number one seed and Whitewater was a four seed. That tells you how strong that region with LaGrange, Trinity Christian, Troup County, Stars Mill. That is just like a group of death when it comes to baseball. And then Perry and Southeast Bullock don't have a score update on that. Northwest Whitfield, Westminster don't have a score update on that. Still, got to update your Max Preps. Come on. North Oconee, the two-time 4A state champions, no problem over Stockbridge. They will await the winner of Northwest Whitfield and Westminster. Stars Mill, you know, here's the thing about Stars Mill. They're probably going to meet North Oconee in the semifinals. This could be a team that could win the state championship. had no problem over Hardaway, 10-0 and 13-0. They will take on Benedictine. I'm really looking forward to this matchup. Benedictine, who is good at just about every sport, they defeat Baldwin 10-0 and 11-0. Heritage Southwest DeKalb, don't have a score update for that. Pace Academy and Seckinger will play a game three today. Now let's go to 3A. Columbus taking on Mary Persons on Monday, 4:30 p.m. The winner of that series will await the winner of Wesley and Hard County. We've got Morgan County taking on Calvary Day in the second round. Dawson County taking on Franklin County. Pike County, remember they won a championship in 2022? Right there in the lovely small town of Zebulon, they are going to take on Thomasville, who got by Cross Creek. So Pike County, Thomasville. Ringgold taking on Oconee County. As Oconee County defeated Carver of Atlanta. Ringgold defeated Gilmer. Harlem is taking on Peach County. Peach County is just a baseball factory out there in Fort Valley State. Pickens is taking on Hebron Christian. Now let's go to 2A. Worth County taking on Brantley County, who got the upset over Ace Charter. They were the top seed in 2A. Big win. And then Mount Perrin Christian defeats Harrelson County. They will take on Redan, who's also in Callaway's region. Cook and Thompson don't have a score on that. Appling County leading Southwest in game one. Walker and Model will have a game three to decide who will take on Banks County, who defeated Eagles Landing Christian Academy. Over on the right side of the bracket, you have Jeff Davis that is going to play Pierce County. After beating Rutland 7-1 and 4-1, Pierce County is going to play in the second round. Callaway awaits the winner of Fanning County and North Cobb Christian, as they will have a Game 3 winner-take-all today. Callaway had no problem over East Jackson 3-2 and 8-3. You got Dodge County and Washington County all wrapped up 1-1. They will have a winner-take-all game as well. They will await the winner of Toombs County, who defeated the Jordan Red Jackets 16-1 and 13-0. Rockmart is leading the series over Drew Charter. And then Landmark Christian, Providence Christian, don't have a score update. Maybe head coach Tommy Lewis might have a score update, as he is the head football coach of Landmark Christian. But we'll try to get a score update for you on Monday's show. Now let's break down Class 1A Division 2. We've got some second round matchups. Miller County taking on Charlton County. Mount Zion taking on Johnson County, as Mount Zion defeated Marion County 15-5 and 5-4. Johnson County defeated Georgia School for Invocation and Classics. Down in the bottom left of the bracket, Wheeler County is going to take on Emmanuel County Institute. Christian Heritage needed three games to get by Taylor County. They won game three 15-3. They will take on Lake Oconee Academy, who got by Wilkinson County. All right, Bakerton Charter, they advance to the second round. They will await the winner of Lanier County and McIntosh County Academy. Lanier County right now has a 1-0 lead in the series. Schley County had a bye. They will take on Towns County that got by Glasscock County. And then Wilcox County is taking on Jenkins County, who got by Clinch County. Chaco's season is over, as Bowden ends up defeating them 10-0 and 11-0. They will face Washington Wilkes, who got by Georgia Military College. And finally, for the GHSA classification, we've got Class A Division 1. Second round matchups, Bacon County taking on Bleckley County. Remember, this happens on April 29th. Still don't have a winner of Tryon and Whitfield Academy, but Prince Avenue Christian is right there awaiting the winner. Yeah, Prince Avenue Christian, they are just a powerhouse in Division 1, Class A. Crawford County is up 1-0 on the series against Pelham. They will await the winner of Metter. Metter defeated Jefferson County. Down at the bottom of the bracket, it's Jasper County taking on the Weber School. Over on the right side of the bracket, Irwin County, who defeated Lamar County, taking on Dublin, who defeated Screven County. The Kings Ridge Christian is going to take on Social Circle. Heard County, how about those Heard County Braves? They will await the winner of Swainsboro and Byron County. You know, I always go through Pembroke. when I'm headed to Fort Stewart. Byron County, right there in the small town of Pembroke. And you know, when I'm traveling all over the state of Georgia, I want to give love to these small towns that I go through. And so I just want to give them love here on the show. Pepperell is going to take on Tallulah Falls. So that is the GHSA playoff brackets. Try to update it all the way until the state championships, which will be in 3 weeks. AHSAA 7A playoff bracket, Central and Prattville. You got Baker and Dauphine, Enterprise, Auburn, Bob Jones, Sparkman, Thompson, Spain Park, Hewitt Trustville, Hoover, Grissom, and James Clements. Over in 6A, the first round is under the books. Hueytown is going to take on Baldwin County. Pike Road taking on Hillcrest. Spanish Fort taking on Saraland. Benjamin Russell is taking on Wetumpka. Athens taking on Gardendale. You got Pell City taking on Hartsell. Mortimer Jordan taking on Mountain Brook. And Buckhorn taking on Oxford. By the way, the Chocolaca Monsters are returning to Oxford. That's a huge deal. As you know, the Sun Belt Baseball League is still in effect. I know we lost the Columbus Chattahoots and the Chattahoochee Monsters, but we got two new baseball teams as they return to Chocolaca. I already talked about the Cartersville Cannons. Well, let's go to Alabama 5A in the AHSAA playoffs. As I try to give all the Alabama schools love as well, second round action. Today, Shelby County taking on Mobile Christian. Tallahassee is taking on Gulf Shores. St. Paul's Episcopal are taking on the Valley Rams. By the way, a big congratulations to the Valley Rams head basketball coach Marshawn Harper, who retired after 25 years of Valley Rams basketball. He led the Valley Rams to the state championship in 2023, undefeated season. Just congratulations to Coach Harper. Holtville taking on Headland. Springville taking on Southside. Selma, by the way, we called the Morgan Academy game, which is out of Selma, Alabama, yesterday. Leeds taking on Russellville. Alexandria taking on Lawrence County. Madison County taking on Sardis. Now let's go to 4A for the state baseball playoffs for Alabama. Mumford taking on Bibb County. Trinity Presbyterian taking on Northside. Satuma taking on American Christian Academy. Oak Grove is taking on Andalusia. Deschler taking on Asheville. Comer taking on Etowah. Haleyville taking on North Jackson. And Brooks is taking on Westminster Christian Academy. 3A, remember, this is where Glenwood and Lee Scott Academy are going to be next year. This is some of the competition they have look forward to seeing. Houston Academy is taking on Thomasville. Op taking on St. James. Excel taking on Prattville Christian Academy. New Brockton, who got by Beulah, remember, they're going to be in Glenwood's region next year. They are taking on Providence Christian. Colbert County taking on Westbrook Christian. Piedmont taking on Fayette County. Susan Moore taking on Gordo. Lauderdale is taking on Plainview. 2A baseball playoffs. Ranburn taking on Pike Liberal Arts. Long is taking on Bayshore Christian. Washington County is taking on Real Town. Tryon taking on Wicksburg. Reed Bay taking on North Sand Mountain. Whitesburg Christian Academy is taking on Donahoe. Vincent is taking on Locust Fork. Collinsville is taking on Mars Hill Bible. By the way, Mars Hill Bible out of Florence, Alabama. A big shout out to Ben Hayes and Travis Creasy. Also, head coach of my alma mater, Freed Hardeman University, Drew Stutz, is from Florence, Alabama. And Mars Hill Bible, that is the school over there that has been doing very well for championship caliber teams in 2A for the state of Alabama. All right, let's wrap this thing up with 1A baseball in the AHSAA. South Lamar is taking on Central. Sweetwater taking on Leroy. Floridia taking on Millery. You got University Charter taking on Brantley. Sumpton Christian taking on Athens Bible. Lynn is taking on Hacklesburg. Oh, by the way, Sumpton Christian did defeat Athens Bible yesterday to move on to the quarterfinals. Yeah, that's right. You got Bell Green taking on Appalachian and Coosa Christian taking on Covenant Christian. The GIAA brackets are out and they are set Let's start with 1A, Flint River Academy out of Woodbury, Georgia. They are the overall number one seed. A big shout out to Joe Howard, the voice of the Flint River Wildcats, for being a guest on the show and really supporting Georgia Alabama Sports Live and the Sports Beat with Richard Holdridge. And we expect that the Flint River Academy Wildcats might make a deep playoff run. Here's what the bracket looks like. They are the number one seed. They will await the winner of Fullington Academy and Memorial Day. David Emanuel Academy is the number four seed. They will await the winner of Atlanta Jewish Academy and Crisp Academy. These games will start on Monday. You have Robert Toombs, the number two seed, and Harvester Christian, the number three seed. Over in 2A, Gatewood is the overall number one seed. And then in 3A, Pinewood is the overall number one seed. You got Heritage, which is the three seed, Heritage out of Noonan. There will await the winner of Tiftaria and Westminster out of Augusta. 3A, this is where everybody wants to know, Brookstone and Pacelli, who will they play in the quarterfinals, which will take place on Friday, May the 3rd, at Brookstone and at Pacelli. You got Mount DeSales Academy taking on Stratford Academy. The number 7 and the number 10 seed, the winner, will take on Brookstone. Strong Rock is taking on Westfield, both in the same region with Pacelli. The winner of this matchup will take on Pacelli. First Presbyterian Day is the number 1 seed. Tattnall Square Academy is the number 4 seed. Remember, the state championships for all classifications in the GIAA will be May the 16th through the 18th at Luther Williams Field in Macon, Georgia. And finally, the GAPS playoff bracket. This is the final year in the GAPS for Calvary Christian. They are a number one seed out of Region 2, taking on Johnson Ferry Christian Academy for a doubleheader. You can catch these games on Georgia Alabama Sports Live. They will await the winner of Rock Springs Christian Academy and Lanier Christian Academy. If Rock Springs Christian Academy out of Milner wins, Calvary Christian is going to be on the road in the semifinals, which will start May the 3rd. The top overall number one seed is the Kings Academy out of Woodstock, taking on Sherwood Christian Academy. Scholars Guild Academy is taking on Creekside Christian Academy. The championship will be May the 10th, with a game 3 if necessary on May the 11th. If the Kings Academy and Calvary Christian win out, that championship will be in Woodstock, Georgia. I've already spoke to Thrift. I talked to Chris Gates. I want to be up there. I got family up in Woodstock. I would love to call that game. It's looking like if the Kings Academy, which has been the top seed in the GAPS, they have got home field throughout the playoffs. It's looking like Calvary Christian, although I do think they're going to get a win on the road against Rock Springs Christian Academy. But Calvary Christian, they should be able to advance to the GAPS championship and go for their sixth straight title. That is all the time I have here on the show. I know, we went the full hour, and I didn't even have a guest, but there's just a lot of sports to cover. Stay tuned for Monday's show. The guests are coming back. I've got a full lineup of guests because not really calling that many games next week. I am calling the Glenwood semifinal games against Macon East on Wednesday, and then I'm going to be out of town next weekend. So, thank you, everybody, for tuning in to another episode of the Sports Beat with Richard Holdridge, presented by Georgia Alabama Sports Live. Hope you have a great weekend. Stay tuned for Braves Country Radio with Mac McGee and the Armchair Quarterbacks. That's coming up next here on WQEE. Have a great weekend, everybody. You've been listening to another episode of the Sports Beat with Richard Holdridge, presented by Georgia Alabama Sports Live. You can catch an episode daily on WQEE 99.1 FM The Key, Monday through Friday from 2 to 3 p.m. This is a podcast that covers local sports to the Chattahoochee Valley. If you would like to catch a replay of the show, you can download an episode on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, or wherever you get your podcasts. And I hope you have a great rest of your day.